Hey friends, it's Adam. This is week four in our special 5-week Love Has a Name series where I'm introducing you to different people that I talk about in my latest book called Love Has a Name. It's one thing to read a person's story and to hear a person's story told by another person. And it's another thing altogether to actually hear a person share themselves. And so my hope is just to share a little bit more about the people that I talk about in my book. Today's conversation, you get to hear from Joy. Joy is a person who has had a huge impact, not only on my life, but also on my parents' lives as well. Joy is chapter 3 in my book, and the subtitle for her chapter is Love Multiplies for Others. Love Multiplies for Others. There are few people that I think about that more exemplify that. I'm excited. Joy is just an amazing woman. She's an amazing leader. I know that you will be encouraged by our time. And so check this out.
Well, I'm sitting here with one of my favorite people that I've had the privilege of crossing paths with. Before we pushed record, I thanked her just for the impact that she's had on my family, my parents specifically, even more specifically, my dad. And Joy, I first off just want to welcome you and say I'm so honored to have this time with you.
Well, thank you. And I welcome the opportunity to talk to any of you whoever's anytime.
So the chapter that I was honored to write about you is chapter 3. And the heartbeat of that chapter is love multiplies for others. Love multiplies for others. And when I think about someone who has lived a life of generosity, not just financially even, but just your life, I think about you, Joy. And a question I'd have for you is, if there's any specific memories that you have that come to mind, what do you think has created generosity in your life? Is there any things when you were a little girl, was there seeds planted along the road that you saw it in somebody else? Where does that come from? Like, why is that you?
You know, that might be a hard question, but I have this great aunt of mine, okay? And she was, in fact, some of the family members say that I remind them of her. She was single, and she paid a lot of attention to her career, you know, and she worked as like a hospital administrator, and but she was always helping people, you know, and she didn't have a family at home like I don't, other than my four-leggeds, right? And so she had time to do that, and she loved to garden. She loved the business aspect of her life, and then she loved to help people. She was just real easy to be around. And when I was young, I spent a lot of time with her. So, you know, maybe it's a mimic kind of thing, right? I mean, it's what I saw as a young child, and that would have been when I was 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, because both of my parents were working. And so my grandma and my great aunt took care of us quite a bit. So, and she was the one that in the family, and when I say extended family, because she didn't have any children of their own, whenever they needed advice on something or wanted to know something, they always went to her. Her name was Christy. Wow. And that's my middle name, is Christine. So, if I had to attribute it someplace, I would maybe say that, you know, she was always taking us to church and helping her garden and just those kind of things. So
it's pretty,
maybe it's her.
It's pretty cool just to think about the impact that certain people have, just even you sharing that. A question that I'm curious is, so you're a realtor, you've been one for years.
38 years.
38 years. How did that first come about? Was it something you always kind of thought you'd do? Like, no. Share just a little bit about, like, how did that all happen?
How did I land where I am? Well, here's how that happened. When I graduated from high school, well, in our senior year, they had, which was 1974, is a long time ago, right? And they had this business class for seniors in the afternoon, and it was a business administration class. And in the last semester, you could go to work for a business in town. They would request a senior from the high school, and you'd go do on-the-job training, right? And So Farmers and Merchants Bank requested me. So I worked there my whole last semester in high school. I was slated to go to college. And very shortly before I left, the president of the bank came to me and said, you know, I know you're ready to go to college, but I'd like to offer you a position here. And I was 18 years old. So he turned the whole student loan department over to me. And I didn't go to school. I took over the student loan department, and then I worked in real estate processing and the trust department down there for 8.5 years. Wow. And the last few years, mostly in the real estate, part of it, which back that many years ago, it wasn't as involved, as it is today. But I was processing loans for local realtors, and that's how I met Peggy, Peggy would come in with her clients, and I was working on the loan paperwork for her clients. And one day she said to me, I think you should get in the real estate business. I think you'd be pretty good at it. And I thought, well, there's a thought. So I did. And I kind of had that banking education, that 8.5 years at the bank behind me, that really gave me a boost, because I knew what happened on the other side of the desk. So.
Did you make a full 100% jump, or did you keep doing the one job while trying real estate?
Completely. 100%. Yep.
Wow. Yep. And so you and Peggy, just to brag on you, I mean, your business has just grown and grown and grown.
It has. We work really hard, but I mean, we're so blessed. I mean, we're in all aspects of real estate. And
do you feel like if there was... I know there's been a bunch of things, but do you feel like there's been anything that happened that was just outside of your control that helped it to grow like it has? Like, do you feel like there's ever been a moment where you're like, wow, that was a turning point? And God, that was you.
God. It was. Of course it was. Of course it was. I'll tell you kind of a funny story. Not funny. I mean, you'll understand this. I really don't believe that there are any coincidences in life. Things happen, kind of because they're supposed to, right?
Yeah.
And the day that I made the decision to give the ranch away, okay?
Yeah.
I was at a meeting with those folks, and I came back into my office, and laying on my desk was a purchase agreement for cash on a piece of land. I mean, it was a lot of money back then, okay, that I had not solicited. I hadn't even been working with this gentleman. But he'd come in, written up an offer, and laid it on my desk. And I thought, wow. And I'd just gotten done 1 hour previous to that, giving the ranch away. So...
Isn't that wild how it works? Yeah. To get to the ranch. So I talk about the ranch throughout the entire chapter. One of my clearest memories is you invited my dad to come walk through. It was just roaming hills and grass.
Yep.
And I can remember thinking, and this is a blessing. I can remember thinking, Joy, I think you're maybe crazy.
Everybody did.
Like, I just couldn't, picture it. And I thought if it did happen, it would be kind of small and whatever. And then years later, I ended up hearing about Joy Ranch. And the first couple of times I heard about it, I didn't actually even connect the dots that it was you.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I need to see this Joy Ranch place. That sounds amazing. And then my dad was like, it's Joy. And I'm like, no way. And then he's like, and Adam, you can't believe Joy, like just the ranch as a whole. Was there ever a moment, like just how did that come about? And was there any moments there where you're just like, you just had a vision where you felt like this is what it should be?
Oh,
Share the story of Joy Ranch.
Yeah, absolutely it was. And you were really young then, but I mean, your dad was working for me then, when I was living on the ranch and raising horses. And then I started to do, because Adam, I do understand what horses can do for people. They're very therapeutic. Any types of quality of life issues that people are having, horses are just a great asset. Okay.
Yeah.
And I understood that because I understand horses and I understand their intuitiveness. and how they pick up on emotions in people and just how wonderful they can be for people that are having issues. So I started to do volunteer programs out there in the ranch yard. Okay. So we had like small groups of disabled children. I was doing big brothers, big sisters. Churches started wanting to come out. And so, and you know how busy my life is in the real estate world, right? So I'm doing all these volunteer programs and calling on all my horse friends who are loving to do it too. And these programs, Adam, are just growing and growing and growing, you know. And
at your house.
At my house. Yeah. At my house. Yeah. So I'd say, you know, to everybody at work, hey, I'm going to be in late because I got some kids coming out for a disabled riding program. And I'd call on my friends and they'd all come and volunteer and bring their horses. But what I saw, and I knew what these horses could do for these people. But what I saw was just what an impact it was making on these people's lives and how they felt, you know, when they were there.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking in the back of my mind, this needs to go further. I can only go so far with just me, you know, and the volunteer groups, right? So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking that. And as was my practice on Sunday nights, I'd ride my horse and I'd take my dog for a run and I'd go sit on that rock pile on the hill. You've seen that big rock pile that overlooks the lake. And that's why they call it Decision Rock Hill, because I was sitting on that rock pile watching the sun go down. And we all know where this came from. I'm sitting there and all of a sudden the thought just comes into my head, you got to give the ranch away so we can make this bigger and help a lot of people. So, and it wasn't even like a thought that I thought, well, are you crazy? Give your ranch away? I mean, it was just so, yep, that's what needs to happen. So the next day I started getting on the phone and talking to people and figuring out who would be a good partner where we can take this where it needs to go and help thousands of people rather than just a couple hundred. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. It's a revelation.
It's unbelievable. But, two questions. Where did the love for horses come from? And what do you remember your first horse?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have a picture of me sitting on a horse at about 18 months old. And now what's really funny is my mother was from Minneapolis. She didn't have a thing to do with horses, right? And my dad, he didn't have anything to do with horses either. But one of the relatives at my great aunt Christie's house brought this pony to her house in Webster, South Dakota one day. And so there I have this picture of me sitting on this horse. So it did not come from my parents. They didn't have a thing to do with it. Neither one of them knew a thing about horses, you know? Yeah. But it was always there. It was always there. They'd try to dress me up like a little girl, and my mom would curl my hair, and then I'd put on my cowboy boots and my holsters and my hat, and it was just, I don't know where it came from, but it was just always there.
And your first horse that you ever had?
Yep. My first horse, I begged for a horse, you know, the whole time when I was a kid. And finally, my dad came home from the state fair because he had a booth down there with Kelloland, you know. So I begged and begged and begged and begged. And so finally he comes home. I think I was maybe 12. He comes home with this Palomino horse that he bought at the state fair. And we're living on North Broadway in Watertown here. So he pulls up. He'd had this guy bring this horse home and he unloads it in the driveway on North Broadway, right? And his name was King. And so we found a place to board him, you know, right outside of town here. And I was riding all the time.
Have you had a horse constant since him or no?
Since him, there was probably a few years in there when I was working at the bank, okay, that I didn't, okay? I just didn't have the resources then to do that because horses are expensive, you know? But very shortly after that, when I bought the land out there and started to build my house, then I got them all back again. So
that's wild. Yeah. Last thing I want to ask. To maybe someone who struggles with the thought of being generous.
Mm-hmm.
Like a person who says, like, I owned it. It's mine. Why would I give it away? Why would I, you know, the world's got enough things to worry about. I'm going to worry about myself. Like, what would you say to that person? And also, your road to happiness.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the two things coincide, but what would you say to that person? And is there one step that you would kind of just nudge them with?
You know, it's been my experience. Then I'll try to figure out what I would say to him. But it's been my experience. You know, the givers in the world are the happy people, you know, and it does come back to you. It absolutely comes back to you. And the people that have to, or feel like they have to grab onto everything that they have in their life and keep it, it's been my experience. Those aren't very happy people. You know, they're not happy. It's one more thing to make them happy and one more thing to make them happy. And if they only knew, take that thing and give it away. That's what makes you happy, you know?
Yeah.
And it comes back to you. It always comes back to you, Adam.
Yeah. Would you say that's, I felt the same way. I actually mentioned, seeing my parents go through their hard financial time before they met you. I can remember making, and it wasn't a good commitment that I made, but I made a commitment that I would never, ever struggle with money a day in my life. And I was going to make as much money as I could. And I was going to hoard it all to myself. And I can remember the generosity that you showed my parents. And I can remember for the first time thinking, that doesn't make any sense that they'd be so kind.
And why would anybody do that?
Right? Why would anybody do that? Because my goal was to keep it and to make as much as I could. And this, the thought of someone being generous for real, no gain, it just didn't make sense to me. And I really look to you as someone who began to plant seeds of generosity. And now I'm to the place, and even Becky and I are to the place that we feel like we can't give enough to. We're we'll challenge each other. Like, hey, what did you do for that person? Uh-huh. Oh, I did this. I did this. Oh, that's awesome. You should do like twice the amount. Or, hey, did we do something for that person? Yeah. Well, what did we do? We did that. Okay. Can we do it again? Like, and now it almost becomes like a fun adventure that it turns on into.
And it becomes a way of life.
It does.
It does. And this person that you're talking about, this imaginary person, maybe what I'd say to him is, are you happy? Does this make you happy? You know, maybe that would click with them to think, no, I'm not happy. I'm grabbing on to all this stuff and I'm not happy. Right? It's that road to giving that makes you happy.
Yeah.
I'll turn this phone off.
Oh, no. Nothing to be sorry about. It's so true. I've told a close friend recently who was really struggling with the thought of generosity, and he brought it up to me and asked, he's like, how did you start? And I just said, I just began to realize that it's so much more life-giving to have your hands open instead of your hands closed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I said, God just began to soften my heart. And I just realized how miserable I am every time I just keep, and instead, anytime I just do this. And so my encouragement to him was, and he's a person that has no problem financially. And so I said, how about this? And I knew it was a small amount for him. I said, how about this? You just go take $400 out of the bank. Just $400. Right. And knowing that he had much more, I was like, $400. And I said, take it out in 20s or 10s or whatever. And I said, stick it in your business coat. And anytime you have an opportunity to help somebody, just take out 10, like just $10. And whether it's buying someone's meal, whether it's, you know, someone selling something at the office, I mean, just $400, just look for ways to give. And I'll never forget him saying, you think so? And I'm like, it makes no sense. And even as you're doing it, I know your financial brain will start thinking, what am I doing? And yet I just like, just that act of seeing, I said, I promise you, it will do something wonderful. It will be the best $400 you've ever spent.
And did he do it?
I never asked him if he did it, yeah. But it was just that gentle, like just that gentle encouragement of taking that first step. And I think even a better first step is what you show it, share Joy, and just ask him the question, are you happy?
Are you happy?
Are you happy? Joy.
You know, people that start to travel down that, you know, I call it the road to happiness, right? Is they start to lead a more simple life too, Adam. You know, I lead a pretty simple life. I'm involved in everything everywhere, you know, but my personal life is pretty simple. I still live in that same little house that I built on the ranch, you know, and if I have my dog and my horse and a good book and a pizza, and that's all I need. I mean, you start to lose that materialistic, I got to have one of these and I got to have one of those. They don't matter. It just doesn't matter. And you're happy. And you're happy with that simple life. And so then you can go do all these things, you know, for other people. And you're happy.
Joy, thank you for just this time. Thank you for being a love that multiplies for others. I shared this too. At the end of my dad's life, whenever that comes, I feel like one of the first people he'll mention to God is Joy Nelson.
And just
the impact that she had on him. And I just have no doubts about that. And so Joy, thank you for being the wonderful person you are, for your generosity, for the impact that God has had in and through you and will continue to have long past you and I are alive. It's just so cool to even think about that, of just the ripple effects that will continue on.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. And your dad is awesome too. He is. He's probably one of the most kind people I've ever met. He's just a gentle soul.
Yes. Yes. Joy, that's everything I have. I'm going to push end here.
Okay.